Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:13 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 16th. Well, today the Chinese market was really quite firm, and I think that's 8 out of the last 9 days to the upside, or the last 9 sessions. So the large cap Chinese market is has done really quite well since just before and indeed after the New Year break. This was also a pretty firm day in Hong Kong, and China generally didn't do much last year, particularly the A-share market, which has been in an extended base formation for the better part of 18 months, and perhaps even longer than that. And it still has this medium-term progression of lower rally highs. It has certainly firmed in the last 6 weeks, and is not far off testing that progression of lower rally highs at this point. So while it has certainly put in some encouraging signs, it does need to do more before we can say with any kind of high degree of confidence that the medium term is has returned to a bullish or a bull-dominated environment. Elsewhere in Asia, the Indian market, which has probably fallen more abruptly than others in the region, has found at least near-term support. It posted that upside key reversal on Friday, followed through on Monday, and has held onto those gains both yesterday and today. So that's also an encouraging sign, and it's the Indian banks sector has also returned to a position of outperformance, and the Indian banks have led throughout. They bottomed first, hit new recovery highs first, hit new all-time highs first, and also topped out first and had the steeper part of the decline early on. But they've also lost downward momentum and put in some good solid upward dynamics this week and indeed last. So that's an additional sign that investor interest is beginning to return around this area. Inflationary pressures remain a concern, particularly in India. And that's really the one caveat for the Indian market, that the inflation may continue to be a concern, and that might delay the rebound in the market. And you also, of course, have the government talking about increasing the supply of shares and divesting themselves of some of their really rather vast state-owned holdings. That's, I think, probably a medium to longer term threat, because the privatization of state-owned companies is really quite a prickly issue in India. Elsewhere in Asia, it was a reasonably quiet day. The Korean market, which is perhaps one of the markets that's still most overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, was probably weaker than others. And that is a market that does look like it has probably more risk to the downside than others because of that overextension. But I'm certainly not looking for anything other than a reversion to the mean, which has been our base case for the vast majority of Asian markets over the last few months. The European and US markets were all firm in here today. The IBEX in Spain was up over 2%, the CAC was up over 1%. The DAX is currently sitting at 7,414, and that's almost 1,000 points off its 200-day moving average, just to give you an idea of how overextended it is in the short term. And the DAX isn't particularly far away from its pre-crisis peak. So that is one market that has done spectacularly well. But the fact that it has done so spectacularly well, and when one looks at it on the chart and says, we look at it and say that has done remarkably well, but it is also really quite overextended. So the risk of a reversion towards the mean in whatever shape or form that might take has risen really quite considerably. And it's a similar story for the Dow Jones and particularly the NASDAQ. They were all in positive territory in here today. The Canadian market was up just under 1%, and the Brazilian market was up just under 2%. So a pretty firm tone continues right across most markets, particularly those developed markets, but particularly those that have become really quite overextended. And also, when one considers the fact that so many people have positioned themselves for a continual outperformance of Wall Street, and indeed some of those Northern European markets, that the risk of a reversion beginning really is increasing the more that these continue to hit new highs. So this isn't really a time to be opening big new positions, but rather to be rather disciplined with money control tactics. Elsewhere in Europe, the Dutch and the Belgian markets are just breaking above their April highs. They're not nearly as overextended. They're just completing year-long ranges, and they appear to have further upside in them. And the Austrian market, which is more leveraged to Eastern Europe, is also pushing out of its most recent little range. So it is really quite a firm tone right across Asia, the European region. In the commodity markets, oil was up to almost $86 in here today, but finished out the day just under 85. So oil has fallen back from just over $90 to I think $83 a couple of days ago. And it's quickly unwinding its overbought condition relative to its 200-day moving average. That WTI contract, provided it holds above the $80 level, we can continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt over the medium term. But this is pretty good news for the global economy, because while the food prices remain really quite firm, the energy prices haven't been surging, and that at least is a cold comfort to particularly people that spend a lot of their monthly income on commodities. Now, food prices, particularly wheat, corn, soybeans, all pulled back rather sharply yesterday and followed through on that in the early part of today. And wheat got down to as low as $8.57, but it closed closer to $8.70. So we saw the majority of those food commodities closing out the day relatively flat. Cotton was limit up the last time I looked, and sugar was up over a full cent. Cocoa also bounced in here today, and coffee, Arabica coffee, pushed on to a new recovery high. So this remains a really quite firm medium-term situation for the agricultural commodities and foods in particular. The exception was rough rice yesterday, because it was limit down, and it was also weak in the early part of today and didn't actually pair much of its decline into the close. But And that has been a really rather sharp reaction. Volatility is quite characteristic of these commodities, and a 2-day sharp pullback in rice, while certainly eyebrow raising, doesn't rule out the fact that it could find support in the short term and continue to push onwards. Rough rice has certainly been the laggard in the grains and beans, and that has certainly been borne out over the last couple of days. But the medium-term bullish outlook for so many of these commodities remains very much intact. A lot of the volatility we've had over the last couple of days has been because of speculation that the drought might be easing in northeast China. And that remains a highly uncertain environment. So these commodities will certainly have to be watched, but they're almost always best bought following reactions. And that's pretty much the case for just about everything. The food crisis isn't about to disappear overnight. We are starting to now see reports coming from the UN and the World Bank talking about the potential for food riots and food shortages. So the extent to which these food prices have risen is certainly beginning to enter the public consciousness, and that is the next step on the line to significantly higher margin requirements and potentially even more onerous intervention by various regulatory authorities. So the risk, attached to these, particularly as they continue to hit new recovery highs, is increasing really quite considerably. But provided weather remains a negative issue for foods, then that will continue to put upward pressure on them. But they are likely to increasingly become volatile. In the precious metals sector, this was a good day for gold shares. Gold finished out the day just in positive territory and paired its advance into the close. And the rest of the precious metals also finished out the day relatively quiet. The dollar was weaker against the euro and indeed against the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar. The dollar has been reasonably steady over the last couple of weeks, and there is still the potential. Well, I think the US is quite interested in having a continually weak currency to help bolster its economy. And US Treasuries were stronger in the early part of the day, but finished out the day almost a cent off their high. US Treasuries have rallied in the last week or two, but not by very much, and they went back up to test the 120 point area, which was the lower side of that month-long range that it broke down from last week. So this is the first area where it would potentially encounter resistance, and it does look like it is encountering resistance in this area. Given the fact that inflationary pressures continue to mount, and that everyone knows that the buyer of last resort is the Fed, and that yields at these levels are really quite uncompetitive when inflation is a major or an increasingly important concern, that US Treasuries, there is a strong likelihood that they have hit a secular peak in terms of their prices or bottom in their yields, and that they will be shorting opportunities on rallies for a significant time to come. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.